So, let's welcome to the Freight and Salvage stage, Del McCurry and David Griffin.
Don't you cry. done. Let me kiss those sweet lips and a bit. In heartache, in my consolation. Thank you.
bluegrass music, the rhythm guitar, you know, is kind of the heart and soul of the band. And, you know, all due respect to Bill Monroe, he needed a good guitar man at all times, and this guy was certainly one of the best, and still is. Kind of a thankless task, you know, being a rhythm man, but they do throw in a lot of these very idiosyncratic bass runs on the guitar there. And of course, you've heard of Flatt's famous G run. Well, I'm here to maintain that it was really, let's see, perhaps Riley Puckett's famous G run, or even Charlie Munro's famous G run, but there are, you know, all these guys had the runs. So, you know, and Adele, of course, is one of the masters of the G run, and not to mention the C run, or the D run, or even the A run. So we thought we would devise a little instrumental tune here. Based on these runs, and it's called the G-Run Blues.
Here's a lot better. This song,
You know, there's an old, now we didn't mention Clyde Moody. He had a lot of good guitarists, too.
It's Glenn Horton.
I think he's the one that, he's the one that recorded this years ago, and he was a member of an early Bill Monroe Bluegrass Boys band, way back, you know. So he quit Bill and got a job on the Grand Ole Opry. And he was known as the Waltz King. That was his, you know. He sang a lot of waltzes, but he played a great guitar. And so we're going to pay tribute to Clyde Moody on this song, The Shenandoah Waltz.
There you go.
I'm troubled in mind.
Yeah, that's the name. I could use that.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the Monroe brothers, you know, were perhaps the most popular brother duet in the 1930s. It was kind of a genre of country music. Quite a few brothers, the Morris brothers, the Callahan brothers, the Delmore brothers, the Marx brothers, popular in the 30s. And of course, on into the 40s, you had the Lubin brothers, and even on into the 50s, you had, well, the Stanley brothers, and even the Everly brothers, and even into the 80s, where you get the Doobie brothers.
The Morris brothers,
so
and the
Marx brothers. Yes, continued, but...
and the McGrath.
The McGrath brothers, and of course the McCurdy brothers. And I never had a brother. I guess they threw them all away.
You can be my
or
brother.
Sister.
I can be your brother.
Man. I appreciate that. Okay. Let's see. Where were we? Of course, along with brotherhood goes sibling rivalry. And of course, the Monroe brothers apparently had a severe case of sibling rivalry. I was just reading in the notes to Charlie Monroe's box set that, let's see, who said this? Maybe Jack Cook or some of Matt Wiseman, maybe, said that they were driving and he was in Bill Monroe's band, and Bill directed him to drive up to Charlie Monroe's house. This was long after they had split up, and they just banged on his door, and they came out, and they just had at it. But they broke up the Brother Act in 1938 after 2 years and 60 wonderful sides for Luber label, and they each formed a band. Charlie Monroe formed the Kentucky Partners. How many of you are Kentucky Partners fans? And then Bill formed an obscure band called Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass. Any of you heard of that band?
That band.
And Bill, he landed a spot on the Grand Ole Opry in 1939. And and he experimented with various combinations of bluegrass boys and through the early 40s. And in 1946, a young 21-year-old banjo player from Shelby, North Carolina, named Earl Scruggs, got the job with Bill Monroe, and the band already included Lester Flatt from Sparta, Tennessee, and Chubby Wise was from Florida. I'm not sure where Cedric Rainwater, the bass player, was from, but...
He was from Parks and Mill.
He was. But the way those guys played music together has formed the template for what Del and I call good old traditional bluegrass music, you know.
Yeah.
And did you ever hear that band, the original band?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Me either. We were both too young, see. But we'd like to do one of the tunes that they recorded at the first session with Earl Scruggs back in 1946. This is called Toy Hard.
Romance in it.
Upstairs to make her bed, and not a
Well, friends, we're going to play one more for you right now and take a little breather. And we do have some merchandise here. Dell, he won the Bluegrass Grammy this past year. Called The Streets of Baltimore. Was that recorded actually on the streets of Baltimore?
Oh, no, I just was thinking about the town.
Yeah.
You know, I played a lot. I met Bill Monroe in Baltimore the first time. I'd heard him a lot, you know, before I went to work for him. And I'll tell you a little story about this. I was playing with a guy named Jack Cook, who was later a bass player with Ralph Stanley. You folks know Ralph Stanley?
Yeah.
He passed away, you know, not too long ago. But anyway, he's a great guitar player. No, not Ralph. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Ralph's still alive. But anyway, Jack Cook was a guitar player that played with Bill Monroe before I did. And he came to Baltimore and was had a band there, and I started playing banjo with him. And so I met Bill Monroe. He came in one night. We were playing a little club, not much bigger than a stage. Yeah, I thought the size of the stage. And Bill Monroe walked in there, and I thought, is that Bill Monroe? I don't think so. He had a big hat, I don't know. But I found out it was, and they took me to New York City, my first trip there, you know. And we played up there, and so that's how I met Bill. Now, what else was I supposed to do?
I forgot what I started with.
No, I was plugging your CD.
Oh, my CD, how'd that come up? T-shirts, but I played so much in Baltimore, I thought I should put a song. I was going to write one for the record, and I ran out of time. It was almost done, so we did the old Harlan Howard song entitled "The Streets of Baltimore." But now I'm not going to sing it now. I'm going to sing something else.
You're welcome.
Well, we do have, you know, various CDs. You know, if you ask anyone. If you ask your accountant, for example, for some financial advice these days, he will tell you to put at least some of your savings in CDs. But we've got some, I should mention, I've got some books. I finally decided to come out with the Book of the Dog in various volumes. First two volumes are here if you read music, or even if you don't, there's a lot of good pictures in there. Essays on the song. First volume is Dog Roots, all traditional music that I've recorded through the years. And second volume is Dog Grass, 20 original bluegrass style tunes that I've Dell even plays a few of those.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And we've got some.
You have written a lot of stuff.
I know. I thought I counted around 108, but my manager said it's over 200. But you know, he probably retitles them. We've got some old ones in the way. 40th anniversary, 4 CD sets. Giant pizza tapes and some of my wife Tracy's beautiful musical portraiture. She'll be helping divest. Both our wives are here, Dell's wife Jean. And we'll send this out to them. And we'll see you in very shortly for the second set. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Let's welcome back to the Freight stage, Del and Dawg.
Frightening.
Yeah. Well, this is really frightening.
Ever doing this.
Yes, it is.
While we're on the Stanley Brothers, we should do this next number that I got the great thrill to record this with Ralph Stanley on an album called Life of Sorrow. It's all these really dark songs.
It's like we're doing
tonight. Yeah, it's like we're doing tonight. Tragic songs of life, you know. Death, incarceration, unrequited love, you name it.
Murder ballads.
Just like that last number. Terrible. Forensic files of the early 1900s.
Great uplifting song.
Well, you know, the thing is, despite these lyrics, these tragic lyrics, and many of these melodies are very joyful and uplifting, almost like an antidote to the words. Well, not to change the mood too much, this is The Man of Constant Sorrow. Yeah, we had a mammoth session one time. We did nine tunes.
In a mammoth?
Well, a country hour.
We did do a lot, though.
Yeah.
We got a lot done.
And put it in. Actually, this is a number Dale and I recorded some duets in Nashville. While I always like to record different things just for the heck of it. Hopefully someday they might escape, you know. And we recorded two duets together in Nashville while Dale's son Lonnie, and possibly the world's greatest bluegrass band, my nephew Ronnie, we produced an album called the Bluegrass Mandolin Extravaganza. You know, we should try and get a copy before it's too late. But we, Dell played guitar on this whole album with eight different mandolin players, and mostly not together, but. so we recorded two duets there, and one of them is this next tune. And I heard an interesting song, a new story about this song. You know, back in the 40s and 30s, it was not uncommon for artists or musicians or producers to buy songs. Composer would sell the song and then relinquish all the rights, which, who knows? Who would have known? Anyhow, there was a famous record executive for King Records named Sid Nathan, and he recorded everything from James Brown to the Stanley Brothers in the 50s, and he started in the 40s, and apparently he had a song hunter out there trying to find songs, and got a call from this guy. He says, "I got the song here. It's a waltz, but it's $50." And Sid Nathan said, "There's no song that's worth it."
Well, go ahead and finish it.
Well, didn't Eddie Arnold have this one?
Well, maybe so. Maybe it was
Eddie. Patty Page probably had a big thing.
Patty Page did, but you know, it was a state song for Tennessee for a long time.
So yeah,
Bobby Osmond sang Rocky Top, you know, and then he told me the story about that. You know, going to the state house when they voted Rocky Top the state song for Tennessee, so it beat out the Tennessee Waltz after about.
I didn't know you could be fixed.
30 years. Yeah.
It was. Or impeach a song. See if you recognize this, friends.
I was waltzing with my darling in the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. Tennessee Waltz, all
Thank you.
sing you a song. You know, we did a tour back in the in '80s sometime. I don't know when that was. And we had not. I think it was '89. We had a full bluegrass band.
1889.
I remember it well. Did a whole tour with David, and we had a great time. We played some great places too back in the East. You know, we played the Mountain Stage in West Virginia. Any of you folks ever been there? One guy. But we're gonna get David to sing this, and I'll sing a little bit of it, about that long. Okay.
A little spasm of it.
This
is a song for the whole family, and it's one of those thoughtful, thought-provoking songs. I want you to really listen to the lyrics, and the lyrics hold the key to this song, and it's quite something, I'll tell you. I don't know what else to say. Let me do that again.
Get lost in the first verse.
I'll tell you, man. For a guy that plays a lot of mandolin instrumentals for a living, that's a mouthful. Well, actually, we'll get Dell to do another great solo number. This is a number that he usually was featured on when he played with Bill Monroe. He usually most often would sing this song, and Bill would give his lead singer a spot in the show to shine. And actually, after a couple of years after Del had left the Bluegrass Boys, I was offered a very lucrative engagement in Troy, New York at the Rensselaer Polytechnic
Institute.
Yeah, RPI, exactly. And I was able to hire Dell and his brother Jerry and the late great Wendy Winston, and we drove up there and rehearsed in the car. And for the princely sum of $200, we had $50 a piece. And that was a lot of bread. I think Bill Monroe paid about half of that, right? If at all. And actually, I brought Ralph Renzler's Knocker tape machine and one microphone. And tape machines were mono in those days, and a lot of that show is out on a record or a CD now called Early Dawn. And the song is on it, The Dark Hollow. Yes, sir. Man, the old old man. He's on it tonight. I would like to do a number of this. You know, you don't have to be ashamed when you answer this question. How many of you folks like rock and roll?
Yeah, I knew it was popular.
I knew somebody had one. I even like it. You know? I was there when it was born, more or less, on the radio. Chuck Berry and Elvis and Little Richard and Frankie, Jerry Lee Lewis, the Killer, Buddy Holly, and the Crickets, Bill Haley. But anyhow, this song is a Don Reno and Red Smiley number. We have this in our Dell and Dog CD, and we'll try the duet version of Country Boy Rock and Roll.
Thank you. Oh,
yeah, we got one more to do.
Newies.
Yeah.
Halloween song.
Four more, you said?
Well, you know, we're open to suggestions. There's only one more on the list here, friends. But actually, you know, we were talking last night about adding verses to a song. I think Dell added a verse to a Jerry Lee Lewis song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long story, David, if I got time. Okay. Well, you know, I used to open shows for Jerry Lee back in the 60s, you know, after he started doing some country stuff. And anyway, they had a tribute to him up there in Cleveland, and usually they don't tribute anybody till they're dead. He's still alive, you know, he's still kicking that piano, too. But anyway, so he wanted us to come up there because I knew him, you know, he wanted me to come and sing on the show, and so I told him, I said, you know, I recorded one of your songs one time, and you know, he sits there pretty stone-faced. He's sitting right here where you're at. And kind of makes you nervous, you know.
Killer.
And yeah, the killer. And so I thought, well, if I go out there and talk a little bit before I have to go on, if I can talk to him a little bit, I won't be as nervous, you know. And so I said that, you know, I recorded one of the songs that you released one time, and I wrote another verse for it because it's a short song. It only had a verse and a chorus, you know. And it was entitled What Made Milwaukee Famous, Made a Fool Out of Me. And so I told him this whole story, and he just sat there stone-faced. Didn't help me a bit. But I had to sing it. And I sung the verse I wrote, and he said, hey, I like that pretty good. But we're not going to sing that song now.
The song we are going to sing was recorded by the Monroe Brothers around 1936, and I'm proud to announce that I have written another verse to it. It actually had six verses, and I wrote the seventh verse, so I want you to listen to that. But thank you, friends, for coming out to hear us.
Thank you.
Darling, you can love seldom. Darling, you can love seldom. You can love seldom and still go to heaven. Oh, darling, you can love seldom. Riding on that new river train. Riding on that new river train. That same old train that brought me here.
Thank you.
an equal opportunity duet here. Being of the Hebrew faith, we thought we'd incorporate a little Jewish hymn here for you.
David, you're responsible for this fellow.